Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. We are preparing our brief to stop President Obama's unconstitutional executive overreach and an update on the attack in Texas.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It's particularly difficult to be effective when the administration continues to sabotage its own efforts by embracing unconstitutional policies like the president's executive action. I think perhaps the larger tragedy is that the president has poisoned the well in Congress and destroyed any trust whatsoever between the executive branch and the Congress when it comes to fixing our broken immigration system. Do you regret the actions that you and the administration have taken that have gotten us to this point?
No, I do not, Senator. I believe that the undocumented population in this country, at least half of which has been here more than 10 years, has to be reckoned with. You refer to the fact that the president supposedly poisoned the well. We took the action we took after waiting literally for years for Congress to act.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
So do you think it's an excuse for the president to act unconstitutionally because Congress doesn't act quickly enough to suit him?
I have what is, in my judgment as a lawyer, a very, very thoughtful opinion from the Office of Legal Counsel that we have the legal discretion to do what we did. Unfortunately, Judge Hainan disagrees, but the case is on appeal now.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
ISIS claims responsibility for an attack in Texas. As we learn more about one of the gunmen's ties to terror, turns out Elton Simpson first fell on the FBI's radar back in 2006 when an informant started secretly recording their conversations, and a lot of them.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Breaking news out of the situation in Texas. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attacks directly. This would be the first ISIS attack inside the United States. Now, what has to be figured out is whether this was a reaction to the attack or if there were actual planning going on between these two individuals and the Islamic State. I don't like giving these folks too much name recognition than is necessary, but we know now both their names. Elton Simpson, we know about him yesterday, and Nadir Sufi, their roommates in Arizona. What we also know is that Elton Simpson was being watched by the FBI closely. In fact, the Department of Justice brought charges against him for trying to join the terror group Al-Shabaab. That was back in 2007. The case took until 2010. He was the judge said there wasn't enough evidence there to say that he was trying to join a terror group, but he did lie to the investigators, so he got 3 years probation. 3 years probation. So this is someone that was known to our intelligence services, our security services inside the United States, and yet still he was able to go from Arizona to Texas at an event which was already heavily secured and try to carry out this attack. The question will be is, did ISIS have a role in planning this, and what kind of role did they have? I want to take your phone calls on this. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are taking your phone calls, and we want to talk to you on the air. We're also preparing our brief for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's due on Monday, so we folks have got to hear from you. If you want to stop President Obama's unconstitutional overreach, this is important time to get involved. You're joining over 80 members of Congress. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. This is the unconstitutional executive action by President Obama on immigration. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. This is a case we have been winning, folks, in the district court. We can stop President Obama's executive overreach here. Call 877-989-2255. We'll be right back. Sabotage. Listen, Olio.
Sabotage. Listen, Olio. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king. Yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. And we are going to continue to take your phone calls. I want to focus in on Texas for a bit. Senator Kelly Ayotte from New Hampshire had this to say about ISIS in America. This would be the first time an attack was carried out. Now, it wasn't very successful. And that's good news, great news, that the one who was security guard who was injured was a fairly minor injury, and there were assault rifles involved here. So, again, you had police action that was just superb, taking these two terrorists out. I'm not afraid to call them that. And I think that's how we have to see it as well, because that's what this is about. It's terrorizing people, terrorizing the citizens, trying to make you afraid of exercising your rights. Protected rights in America, like them, like what the speech is or not, there is protected rights. And so that is something, even the White House has acknowledged that part. But take a listen, because sometimes we forget, you know, there's so much news and we go topic to topic, how much ISIS activity we've already seen inside the United States. Senator Ayotte, bite in.
I think what it shows you is what a threat ISIS is to our homeland. And we need to put this in perspective. The fact that they've claimed responsibility, whether they were inspired by ISIS or had direct communications with ISIS. In the last month in April, we had 6 arrested in Minnesota for attempting to travel to Syria and join ISIS. You had the man from Ohio that actually did travel to Syria, who came back to the United States and was planning attacks on our country. We had the Army recruiter who was going to join ISIS, and also along with a member of the Guard. So this is all in April alone. So this is a real threat to us.
Folks, again, go through that really quickly. You've got last in April. So this is just the last couple of months. Just last month, 6 arrested in Minnesota for trying to get to Syria, join ISIS. A guy in Ohio who actually did go to Syria, came back to the U.S., was about to plan attacks on our country. an Army recruiter who was going to join ISIS, along with a member of the National Guard. That was just in April. Just in April. So it's great that those individuals were apprehended before they were able to take up arms or use explosive devices against Americans and the targets that they may have. But let's not forget that this is an ongoing threat. It's a real problem. And the truth is, can you get to the actual threat and understand what's the problem? You know, where is this coming from? These Americans willing to die. They go into these situations knowing that they will likely be killed. And where is this happening? Where is the inspiration coming from? Where is this? And we know it's happening in one specific community. There are violent people from all different communities in America, and there are criminals, and there's elements. And so that's one thing. You know, criminal conduct is one thing. Suicidal conduct is another. And the idea that you will go in knowing that you will die, that's coming from a religious background, and yet we're afraid to have that conversation in America. We have not yet had that conversation. You know, we deal with difficult things in the United States. Difficult social movements, difficult civil rights movements, and we move forward. So we know we can have this conversation, and we can do so appropriately. But if you refuse to acknowledge where the problem is, you're never going to get to that conversation. Where is the problem? Inside the Islamic community. Now, it's not every Muslim. It's certainly being targeted at young men specifically, though there are women who have also left to try and join the Islamic State. But what we're seeing in the United States, I mean, they fit kind of a profile. And you see, it's not about profiling one or two. It's about long-term having a whole new conversation. And yet, you know, too many politicians are afraid, and specifically our president, afraid of saying, you know, they call us extremists. What kind of extremists? I mean, you know, that makes me nervous in itself. There's lots of different extremists, and that's kind of a moving definition. I mean, what's extreme and this is extreme. There's lots of extreme. And in America, we allow a lot of extreme. You know, extreme is protected under the Constitution if you're talking about extreme speech, for instance. But now, when we go a step further, so if we define that and said Islamic extremists, okay, now we're getting into a world where we can at least start looking at the problem itself. But, you know, this is something that's not going away, folks. It's something, unfortunately, our country has got to deal with, not just abroad. I hope this underscores it for everybody. It's not just abroad. It's right here in our own communities at home here in the United States. I'll continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. My dad's new book comes out May 19th. The book is Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom. You can pre-order the book now, and we encourage you to do so at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook.com. You can pre-order from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and there's some other places as well. So undemocraticbook.com. How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom. We're going to take your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us on air. I first want to get an update from Than Bennett from our government affairs office. Than, on the Iran legislation, because we followed that very closely last week. Where is that now this week in the United States Senate? Lots happened, so there's news kind of shifting off the focus that was there last week.
Yeah, the Iran legislation, Jordan, is still on the floor of the United States Senate. There have been some pretty interesting developments over the weekend. Without getting bogged down into sort of the parliamentary procedures that were used, what has essentially happened is Senator Rubio and Senator Cotton have filled up all of the available space for amendments to be offered. And what that has done, it has given Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he has forced him to make a decision. He has to decide whether or not he is going to file cloture on that underlying bill, which would end debate. That would mean no more amendments would come up, or whether or not he will continue to try to get an agreement with the Democrats to allow actual votes on the amendments that we care so much about, including the ones that have been offered that would say the Americans have to come home before an underlying deal. The leader has said he's going to try to reach an agreement. So where we're at right now, he is still trying to negotiate with the managers of the bill, Senator Corker and Senator Cardin, to come to an agreement. But until that happens, Jordan, they're sort of at an impasse. They're dealing with other measures as they try to come to an agreement. So the bill's still there. We're still tracking it, but the reason we've moved to other issues is because it's not the actual piece that's being debated as we speak.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Brian calling in from Arizona on line one. Brian, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that the opportunity was missed when 9/11 happened to seal the borders, and not just seal them, but find out who's here in the country. But we were so distracted by that attack that we kind of missed the boat. But I just want to encourage people to pray for our leaders and pray for their salvation. And I don't think that that's really being done with President Obama, because I don't think he has a heart for or fear of Jesus and God. I think he's somewhere else in his heart. And I just want to praise my Savior that he saved me, and he knows me, and he knows how weak I can be.
Well, you know, I think that, listen, Brian, I think one, your comments about 9/11, the whole country's had to shift, and we sometimes have a very short-term memory in the United States about threats that we face, and so we're very good at rebuilding. We're very good at moving forward, and that's not a bad thing. But you want to make sure, as you're doing that, that you are making smart decisions, that you know that you're using all the technology that you can, all the tools that you're able to do, while still protecting the rights of Americans, to make sure you have as secure a country as possible. And there's been that debate, that you know, it's a back and forth debate, and it's one that should be vigorous publicly. It's not one that should be behind the scenes about weighing the national security issues and liberty versus protection and security. And we have that debate in America. It's a good debate to have. Now, on President Obama, listen, I don't think he gets it on this issue specifically. I'm not sure he's not afraid of generally what this is causing in the world. I think he can turn on and TV, which he's got a lot more information than that, and see that this is a problem in the world. That being said, and moving forward, you've got to realize where the problem is. And the problem here is within Islam. And it's not all of Islam, it's the radical elements, but it has become very pervasive throughout, we've seen in these Islamic communities, and that's why we've got to take a stand. We'll talk about it more when we get back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulo, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king. Yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We want to talk to you on the air. We are talking about a number of different issues. One is our brief getting ready to be filed at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is to stop President Obama's executive overreach. We believe unconstitutional. So did the district court judge. This is now at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We want you to join with over 80 members of Congress. So we can't list all of them on the radio broadcast, or else Than and I would just be going back and forth with names for you. It's over 80 members of Congress. You will be joining. You can call our toll-free number right now. It's 877-989-2255. This is going to be filed next week, so we've got to get your names added now. So this is why it's critical that you add your name today and make it a bit easier on our legal team to get your names and information added. Call 877-989-2255. That's the toll-free number you call, 877-989-2255. You can also sign the brief online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. A lot of great information there. I want to, you know, there's a new letter from Pastor Saeed Abedini. His birthday is on Thursday. What is Thursday? It's also the National Day of Prayer. And so, it just so happens that Saeed's birthday, his 35th birthday, falls on the National Day of Prayer. He's written a new letter. And it's really focused on Americans and the American church and people. And I want to encourage you to go to aclj.org. I haven't read a lot of this letter out over the broadcast yet. And that's because I want people to have time to read it for themselves, to share it with their friends and family. I may read more today, but it's up at aclj.org, right on the homepage, so you can share with your friends and family. Let's go back to the phones. Pauline calling in from Maine on line 3. Pauline, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, I just have a comment. I thought it's interesting to me that this is the second time I've heard it on national news. I think it was just last night. They interviewed someone from the mosque there in Texas, and the comment was, we wouldn't have expected that from them. I'm kind of paraphrasing it the way they said it. We wouldn't have expected that from them. Now, in 2013, Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes was interviewing a group from the mosque in Boston, and the same comment was made. We wouldn't have expected that of those two. Somebody can look that up and look up the sound.
I did see people say one was the attorney for one of the individual who was known to already the FBI. We know the other guy may have been known as well. The reason why we know he was known is because there was actual federal charges filed against him, Elton Simpson. And it was his attorney who said, I didn't see this. We thought, misguided individual, but not someone who was trying to carry out violent attacks. And so, yeah, I did see that. And I think that, Pauline, to some extent, you're right that we hear too often that, we don't expect it from these individuals. Now, listen, I can get why people who may have been close to them, their attorneys, everybody should have defense and have charges brought against you, may feel bad in some sense that they didn't notice it or they didn't see it then or that they were defending this. And the truth is, it's a bigger problem than just this one individual or the two individuals. It's these excuses of, we didn't see this coming. That scares me to the sense that it's so, again, that the language may be so radical or so extreme that it's just not being picked up by these communities. And what are they used to hearing? What is acceptable kind of rhetoric? And why, again, you understand why they're not necessarily always calling the FBI on each other. And there's been a real backlash in the United States. So, we're supposed to be afraid to have the frank conversation. And here's the truth, just to say it for everybody once and for all. These are happening because of what's happened within Islam. That's the truth. Now, you can then figure out from there the big point and deduce where is it within Islam. Well, I think point one is young men, okay, and who is doing the recruiting? Well, we know some is done at the actual mosque. Other is done online now. You don't have to be at the mosque anymore to be recruited directly. And that's even something we could track in a different way. And so we have to be ready for this fight. We wrote the book Rise of ISIS. It's a number one New York Times bestseller. And so, you know, we've been tracking ISIS very closely. They're claiming responsibility. This would be the first actual ISIS attack. Wasn't a very successful one, but that actually went off inside the United States of America. We'll continue to take your phone calls. If you want to talk to us about Texas, I do think this is a conversation we have to have in America. We have to have it in a way that it's a conversation. There are going to have to be Muslims that are part of this discussion, and we need their help in many situations. You know, we've had Dr. Zudi Jasser on, who has tried to do work within his community. It's been very difficult. He comes under some significant attack, more so than many of us who speak out without, you know, from outside that world, because he is a Muslim himself. So, again, not trying to exclude Muslims from the conversation. We want to talk to you. If you want to talk to us, our toll-free number is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got another half hour of the broadcast coming up, and we want to take your phone calls. There is also something important coming out, my dad's new book, Undemocratic. This is a great new book. You can pre-order it right now. It's going to be out in just a couple of weeks from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. Undemocratic, how unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats are stealing your liberty and freedom. There's the hardback, and there's the ebook. Yeah, you can pre-order both. Undemocratic, how unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats are stealing your liberty and freedom, from number one New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow, my dad. Which is, again, it's undemocraticbook.com. Undemocraticbook.com to get more information there. There's also a video about the book online at undemocraticbook.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into more of these issues involving what's happened in Texas, what's happening with the immigration case. I want to focus on that right now, actually, with Than, and with Saeed Abedini. We're going to read some of his letter, brand new letter. It's his birthday on Thursday. It's also the National Day of Prayer. What has he written to the American people? We'll get to that when we come back from this break. Remember, you can listen online at aclj.org or Family Talk, Sirius XM 131. If you don't get this on your local broadcast, the second half hour of the show, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Than, on the immigration issue, folks are going, and the executive overreach issue, and that's the focus point because that's where it could be so constitutionally in trouble. Folks are going to be joining a number of members of Congress from across the country.
Yeah, the origins of our involvement on this, Jordan, was when Chairman Goodlatte of the House Judiciary Committee called your dad to testify and explain to them exactly why what the president did was unconstitutional. From there, Chairman Goodlatte has continued to lead a congressional delegation along with Lamar Smith from Texas. And then on the Senate side, the Texas senator, since Texas is leading the way, Senator Cornyn, who you've played sound from, and Senator Cruz, those four are leading what is now nearly 100 members of the House and Senate. We are asking people to stand beside those members of Congress, defend the Article 1 authority to write the laws, make sure that that power isn't also acceded to the executive branch.
Folks, here's what you do. You call our toll-free number right now. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online. It's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And check out undemocraticbook.com.
We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are taking your phone calls. We're talking a number of different issues. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attack in Texas. The question now, how deep are the ties there? And so were these individuals, the two individuals now both been named? One has a record we know about. The other could have certainly been someone being watched by the FBI, but weren't charges filed against them that I can see. And so what we're looking at now is, was there pre-planning here? Because if there was, it takes it to a different level. Now, ISIS can be very successful, and it's not a word I like to use, but it's the truth, in recruiting Americans to take up arms against other Americans. If they can, quote, and this is the Al-Qaeda term of the book, remember, you go back to the Boston bombings, the magazine, which is in English, called Inspire. They can inspire. You know, people call it these lone wolf attacks, but they're not lone in the sense that they are working together. At least there's a team here. And they are getting inspiration. It's not just random attacks and people who are, again, have some conspiracy in their head. They are part of this group. They want to be part of this group, and the group is accepting them. The question is, are they working together before? And so we've seen some commonalities. The difference here, I think, to some extent, was that this happened in Texas, where there was a lot of security, versus in France, where Charlie Hebdo, same kind of situation. The car pulls up. Gunmen with significant weapons on them, and they're able to do a lot more damage, obviously, and get on the run, even, and you know, be in the shootout situation with police and security forces in France. And so in Texas, you know, they open fire, and there's enough security there to immediately take this threat out. There's a huge difference, obviously, between the level of security, even though Charlie Hebdo had some, reportedly, when that horrible attack occurred. This could have been at that level. And we shouldn't say, well, it wasn't, so, you know, that's no big deal. That's a real problem. You know, you can't think that way, because in Charlie Hebdo, you know, if there would have been another police officer or two, maybe less damage would have been done, less life would have been lost. But at the same time, you turn this around and say, well, you know, everywhere in America is not going to have 60 security people and a SWAT and two SWAT teams. So if you're dealing with these individuals, you've got to be prepared, and we have to be prepared. We got a lot of phone calls to take, and we're going to get to those, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Jordan, who's calling in from Oregon online too. Jordan, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good.
All right, so, I mean, this is opening up such a big bag of worms here, and, you know, like, first of all, I mean, if these guys are really from overseas and they came here, I mean, Texas is like the worst place to choose. I mean, you know, because there's a lot of concealed gun carriers there. And
well,
here's
the issue, though. It's they're Americans. I mean, they were living in Arizona. Now, I don't know their specific citizenship of the second individual, Nadir Sufi. I do know that Elton Simpson is a convert. So, you know, I'm assuming that these are Americans, and they're right here, and they're working. And this is what's unfortunate, Jordan. And we can hold you so you can finish your comment after this break, because we got a hard break coming up, and we'll get right back to you. But what makes me nervous is that we're going to see more of these Americans. They don't have to cross over. They don't have to go through that. They're already here. The question is, you know, what do they try to do, and who are they working with? Because if they are found to have been working with ISIS directly, and somehow ISIS leadership, and ISIS is proclaiming that they were, but you have to take that with a grain of salt, and you do have to do your research there. This is not just a terror attack. It would be not just an ISIS-inspired attack, but an ISIS attack inside the United States of America. We come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. Remember, go to undemocraticbook.com. This is a great new book. Comes out in just a couple weeks by my dad. You want to take a look? Go to undemocraticbook.com.
The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king, yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A brand new letter from Pastor Saeed Abedini is up online at aclj.org. His birthday is on Thursday. It's also the National Day of Prayer. I'll read some of that letter later in the broadcast today, but I encourage you really to take the time to read it for yourself. Share it with your friends and family. It's an important time as the nation comes together in prayer. I know I'll be at a prayer breakfast in Virginia with someone who has suffered persecution, Miriam Ibrahim, and who the Sudanese mother who was had to give birth in prison while she was facing death by hanging and 100 lashes. And so I'll be in a prayer breakfast she'll be attending. I know my dad's attending a prayer breakfast as well. Many of you will be at prayer gatherings. Remember the persecuted and remember our American brothers who are facing the persecution around the world, and read Saeed's letter online at aclj.org. We are continuing to take your phone calls. Now let's go to Lewis. He lives in Garland, Texas. Lewis is online 5. Lewis, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Thanks for everything you guys do. Look, I live in Garland, and I always drive to work, and I'm very close where it happened. So there is a mosque right there in Plano. It's like literally 2 miles away from where that happened. And I have seen a lot of movement in the mosque since yesterday at 4 a.m. when I was heading to work. And I've been seeing a lot of cars right there coming and going. I wonder if FBI is going to go and take a look at those places, not like what happened with the bombers on Boston or where it was, whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think we saw the mosque outside Boston, and you're talking about the mosque now in where you are in Garland, Texas, which has not gotten a lot. I've not heard a lot of attention actually on this. So, Lewis, let me ask you. Say, obviously, I understand. You know, in some sense, this community is having to engage probably a level they haven't before with the local community there within to say, hey, listen, this is not us. We don't support this. And I'm guessing that's the kind of action that you're seeing.
Okay, I was wondering because I mean, they didn't do that with the Boston Marathon bombers, so they didn't even investigate the mosque where they were attending to.
The mosque that you're at, you know, I don't like to make definitive statements because I don't know exactly, but these guys, what it appears to be is that they drove in from Arizona. So they're coming from a different community. That's probably where the focus needs to be first, not necessarily where this occurred. Now, that does not mean they're not links. I don't want to put blame on anyone who is not responsible, because that would be not the right thing to do and not the American thing to do. Now, in Boston specifically, there was not enough investigation. In fact, that mosque had been tied to terrorism already before. It had been tied to the Holy Land Foundation case, which is a Hamas funding case. And the mosque, one of the head guys in the mosque there was part of that. So and I think it now is serving 20 plus years in prison. And so maybe halfway through their sentence, or a little bit more, for funding terror groups like Hamas. So it is a real problem. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's a discussion we have to have, because, you know, you can drive around. It doesn't matter if you're, Than, if you're in Garland, Texas, or Arlington, Virginia, or Washington, D.C., the mosque, and it's part of communities now. How it's been in the past, it's pretty separate in the sense that, you know, you could see it, it's there, but it's not kind of an open doors policy that you see maybe from churches, synagogues, which, you know, host a lot of events for the public. And I'm not saying that they don't have dialogue and discussion events for people. That's not the case. But it's been a little bit of this kind of two-world approach, and there are plenty of elected officials in Washington who aren't afraid of having this conversation. But the problem is that for the nation to have the conversation, it takes the President of the United States.
Yeah, and those associations have to be looked at. You have to understand the relationship between those institutions and the community. And some of these folks who are getting their inspiration, as you've been talking about on this broadcast, potentially from overseas. But, Jordan, I really think with the events in Texas, for me, the point they drove home the most for me was just how real that threat from either ISIS or ISIS-inspired individuals to inflict damage on U.S. soil. It's something that we have said for a long time on this broadcast. We've pointed to the statements that they've made, see you in New York, or raise the black flag of Allah at the White House, or encouraging those individual attacks like Texas may have been. But yet, Jordan, this administration, for one reason or another, I tend to think it's because of their foreign policy, their view of the world, they continue to downplay the domestic threat. They don't want to say that we are vulnerable here. And yes, we can defeat this threat, but to close our eyes to the vulnerability, it's significant, it's dangerous, and it's frightening. We have to first acknowledge that it's real, and also acknowledge the inspiration that's behind it. That's got to be a conversation like you've talked about, but the first step is to acknowledge the threat and to name it.
Folks, we are not afraid to name the threat, radical Islam, and it's gotten to a point where to even try and make the distinction between Islam and radical Islam, at least in a formalized way, is becoming more and more difficult around the world, specifically in the Western world. We already saw a lot of radicalism in places like North Africa. We saw it in the Middle East. But we were pretty used to communities, and I think we wanted to believe in this idea that those who left and came, and some of these families, this goes back many generations. They came because they didn't want to be in those places where it was more radical. It wasn't necessarily they wanted to give up their personal faith and their family's faith, but that they wanted to leave the radicalism to come to a place where there is freedom and liberty, where you can choose your faith and live it out the way that you choose, and you don't face the threat of violence and these totalitarian Islamic dictatorships that we see. And now you're seeing a shift happen. It wasn't with the initial generations. It's happening within young people, relatively young. And you look at young men specifically carrying out these attacks. They're both in their 30s. They were in their 30s. It's happening. It's a convert and someone who we don't know a lot about their background story yet. But, it's not just Muslims who have always been here and inside, communities by racial background. You know, it's not an Arab versus the rest of everybody else situation. It's a situation where the converts also becoming radicalized. We'll continue to take your phone calls about this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on the air, we are taking your phone calls, and we will continue to do so throughout the broadcast today. I said I would read some of Saeed Abedini's letter, and I will do that now. It's Saeed's wish, and this is the headline is Prayer for America. So again, the National Day of Prayer this Thursday falls on Saeed's birthday, and Saeed's birthday falls on the National Day of Prayer, May 7th. He'll be 35 years old. And this is just the intro of his letter. I want you to look at this yourself online and share it with your friends and family, Facebook, Twitter, through email at aclj.org. He says, "Greetings in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've been made aware that the National Day of Prayer, May 7th, falls on my birthday this year. As an American and as a prisoner for Christ, I have spent many hours praying and crying out to God for revival for this great nation, the United States. We all hope for the success of our nation and for America to be blessed. But without revival, there can be no true success or blessing. As Ezra cried out to God in repentance and the Israelites joined him in weeping bitterly and turning from their sin, I would like to ask you to join me in repenting and praying for revival. Me from inside of these prison walls and you on the outside." Now, the letter continues, but it's very powerful as Pastor Saeed Abedini talks about Ezra, talks about the prayer for America. Now, think about that. He's sitting in this horrible situation where it'd be easy to blame America, you know, be angry and understandable. And there have been times when I think we've expressed that kind of anger at our government and been so very clearly. But on this day, he realized, I think, the importance of it. So let's remember on as we approach the National Day of Prayer to pray for those who are persecuted, to pray for Americans who are being unjustly treated around the world, regardless of their faith. And just remember and share this with your friends and family. These fights are not over. Call now. If you want to talk to us on air, we got another segment coming up, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Sonia and Bruce, we will get to your phone calls when we come back from this break. Hang on with us. Just one more break, and we'll get to your calls right when we come back. We are focused in on, legally right now, we're focused in on preparing our brief to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to stop President Obama's unconstitutional executive overreach. We want you to be part of that brief. And we've got to file this early next week, so we need you on this as soon as possible so we can get all of these names. Over 45,000 people have signed just online at aclj.org. You can do it by phone by calling 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also sign online and join this committee to stop President Obama's overreach at aclj.org. That's a great way to sign up. If you're listening and you're at a computer now or on your mobile phone, not driving, but if you're on your mobile phone, go to aclj.org. You can sign this online very quickly, just under about a minute max. And if you'd rather join by phone, absolutely can do that. Call 877. It's a toll-free number, 877-989-2255, and check out undemocraticbook.com.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read will be available in bookstores nationwide on May 19th. Order your copy today online at undemocraticbook.com. That's undemocraticbook, all one word, .com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The legal battle over President Obama's unconstitutional overreach is intensifying. The Obama administration's case is now before a federal appeals court. The Constitution is clear. The president is not a king. Yet President Obama directly violated the Constitution by imposing his lawless executive action on immigration. The ACLJ is leading the charge to defend the Constitution in court. We've already filed several key briefs in this case, and now a critical amicus brief is due in just a matter of days. We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Sonia is calling in from Georgia on line one. Sonia, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
No problem, Jay. I'm sitting here. I said, let me park at the CVS on ML King down here in Atlanta and ask Jay if he can help me out. I'm trying to understand. I'm going to be 56. When I was 6 years old in the first grade, I had the two main books that we had. Our teachers were able to bring in other books. Wallace was standing on the steps saying we couldn't come into the school, but the teachers were still teaching and educating in Alabama. I want to know how come I can't have those two books in school now for my children or our children in America, and that's the Bible and the dictionary. That's all we had in Alabama. So, Jay, how do we get the Bible and the dictionary, I say the first five books of Moses, back in the school? I say a Becker Books is the solution to the problem. But how do we do that, Jay? Can we do that? If the churches got together and got some lawyers, could we come together as a massive group of people that we are and demand that we get the Bible? All I got,
you know,
is the Yahweh.
Sadia, and first of all, I get what you're saying, too. You know, you take these things out, and it's been kind of a bedrock principle in America that this is where our liberties, our freedoms, our morals, our law, you know, originates. And so some of it we do take for granted, and then you get to a point where things start kind of falling apart and you wonder, can you get back on course? Now, I believe America can get back on course. I believe America, we've got this unbelievable ability to self-correct on our own when we realize things are going bad. And we've done that throughout our history. We've had very dark points in our own history. I think about the civil rights movement, and you think about how America continues to correct. Things are never perfect. We're people, and we're a government that's run by people who have problems and make decisions, some good, some bad, and we have to work through that. Now, specific to your point, you know, one area that has been opening up, and the left doesn't like, and specifically the atheist kind of groups and the church-state separation groups, is that in history classes and in areas where you may not think about it initially, but even in religion classes, we're seeing so much right now in schools to focus on, and this is up to the school districts, by the way. So, you know, you can get involved at your state level, at your city level, your school council level, and get involved, you know, because that's how this changes on curriculum. But, you know, we'll see all this focus on other religions and no focus at all on the Christian faith or on the Judeo-Christian background of our country. And that's something we can focus on. That's not a church-state separation issue to teach, because it's tough to be a really well-rounded citizen if you don't know some basics about, and especially if we want to keep improving our education system, know some basics about important texts that impacted the life of our founders, impact many Americans' lives today, most Americans' lives today still, the Christian faith, and the Judeo-Christian heritage of our country. So there is a way to do it in schools. It's different than teaching, you know, just Christian class, but it's historical. It's about also the religions classes. Those are all still there, especially at the appropriate age level. So, Sonia, I think absolutely there's so much more we can do. It's up to us, you know, at our local level. That's why, you know, every election has consequences, including your election to school board. That's very important. Sonia, thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Bruce calling from Colorado on line three. Bruce, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. I was wondering about what an endpoint solution for Islam in America is going to look like, you know, when we see the example of Muhammad perpetuating violence to spread Islam in multiple passages in the Quran that seem to incite violence and dominance over people that don't follow Islam. I mean, I'm just skeptical that there can ever really be a compatible solution, not only in America, but with Western civilization.
Well, it's certainly, it's not, you know, the ISIS view of Islam and the Iranian view of Islam, the Islamic Republic's view of Islam, are not compatible with the existence of America at all. You know, long term, it's not compatible with the existence of the United States of America. Short term, it makes, you know, becomes enemies of the United States. Now, is there an Islam that can survive, prosper within this freedom-loving society that's democratic? Maybe. It seemed like there was one in the United States for a long time. You know, it was not really, it wasn't a huge issue. There were some problems, and they were being dealt with around the world. It was not really, you know, happening within inside our communities, or at least we weren't aware. So the question is now is how pervasive has this become? And we don't know exactly. And some of the reason why, Bruce, is that we are not having the national conversation that is so necessary here. And it's not going to happen under the Obama administration. You know, I don't know. I think everything possible has happened for President Obama to have this conversation, to open it up, this dialogue. But at this, you know, and it's there are going to be heated points. So to think it's all going to be nice and friendly, and you know, that's not how we've had debates in America. We have vigorous, rigorous, kind of tough debates in the United States, and that doesn't mean you shy away from what is right just to kind of keep things neutral-ish feeling. And I think that's the problem. It feels very dull. So you don't call it Islamic extremist; you just call it extremist. And then we could have this debate right now. Congress has tried before, and it's been undermined by administration allies. I remember going back to the discussion about the mosque in America and looking into the mosque. And I would think that this is a point where if you're inside the Islamic community, and I can't speak on behalf of it, and certainly this is not how it's responding, which makes me even more nervous, but you'd say, you know what, we welcome the oversight. We see the problems happening. We are good Americans. We want you to come in and see feel welcome to see what's going on here, find where the problems are, and we're going to, you know, the people who are bad, we're going to do something about it. And we're going to support your efforts to do something about it as well, instead of undermining them, making it difficult, and running to the ACLU.
Well, what you just described, Jordan, actually enables that conversation, because it puts on the table the fact that what you saw in Texas, what we saw in Boston and other places, is not compatible with America, and that others within the faith, within the Muslim faith, should acknowledge that as well. Just quickly, this is what a recording from one of the attackers in Texas. He said, they are trying to bring democracy over there. They're trying to make them live by man-made laws, not by Allah's laws. That's why they get fought. You try to make us slaves to man. No, we are slaves to Allah. We are going to fight you to the death. Jordan, that is not compatible with America, that view of Islam. And quite frankly, those within the Muslim faith should be the ones standing up and saying the conversation that you have been asking for can only happen if that kind of speech that we just heard that leads to a violent attack is condemned by everyone involved.
Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Tomorrow we'll take those phone calls. I want to make sure you check out our book, Undemocratic. It's undemocraticbook.com. This is a book that you've got to pre-order today. Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom. A brand new book by Jay Sekulow, my dad. You can pre-order the book today at undemocraticbook.com. Check it out, undemocraticbook.com. To fight against President Obama's unconstitutional executive overreach, you call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And share that letter that Saeed Abedini has written from prison in Iran. That letter is available at aclj.org. Be in prayer for the Abedini family. We will talk to you tomorrow.
We're representing dozens of members of Congress in this brief, and we want to represent you as well. Add your name to our committee to defend the separation of powers. The Constitution is clear. The president enforces the law. He does not make the law. Call now. Add your name. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.